All right, g'day Novocastrians, welcome to your Round 8 Jetstream preview episode for the A-League. This Thursday, the 23rd of November, sees us taking on Melbourne Victory at McDonald Jones Stadium. And Round 5 also sees the Newcastle Jets travelling to Adelaide to take on Adelaide United on Saturday the 25th of November in the W League. We'll have a quick chat over both of those games, but in the meantime, we'll introduce the two guys that are joining me tonight. First up, g'day Wen.
Hello Ferns, how are you?
Good mate, how you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. I'm really getting used to this name.
you're going to have to be forever known as Wen, I think, from now on. That's the nickname.
Sounds
podcast.
Good.
Yep. And also, g'day to Luke. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
That's all right, no worries. We will get a nickname up for you at some point, but that's something that's going to have to occur organically. We just can't can't title you with something.
To be honest, the first time that I saw Glenn's name as Wen, I honestly thought that was his name, and I was like, "Oh man, Wen."
I've been calling him Glenn this whole time.
And then, yeah, it took me probably a few days to realize, oh wait, it's actually Glenn.
Yeah, I won't go in any further than that. All right, so we'll get into the opening question, guys. Luke, start with you. What's your favorite biscuit to have with your morning cuppa?
Double coated Tim Tam, hands down.
Are you doing the slam or are you dipping?
To be honest, I'm not a big tea or coffee drinker, so I just have the Tim Tam itself.
So you have it with your morning cuppa without the morning cuppa.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
fair enough. That's
glass of OJ maybe.
OJ, oh no, OJ chocolate. Okay, you're going to be voted off the island very soon. Glenn,
sorry guys, Luke has to leave unexpectedly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just keep shooting yourself in the foot every episode. Like your first episode, it was I don't know, what was it? I can't remember.
I backed the Mariners against Brisbane.
Yeah, and then, well, no, that was your last episode. The first episode was something else. Your second episode was backing the Mariners to win, and then yeah, it's just
all
gone downhill. Yeah, your voting rights are very close to being removed. What about you, Glenn?
I actually don't. In the morning, I don't have a biscuit with the coffee. I always have a coffee, but of an evening, myself and my wife usually sit down with some biscuits. If I had my choice, it would always be a Monte Carlo, but usually I go for something a little less extravagant, and it's like a Scotch finger or something like that.
I didn't realize a Monte Carlo was classed as extravagant.
It's the king of biscuits, if you ask me.
It's god-tier biscuits. You can't get much better than Monte Carlo.
Yeah, no, that's...
Except Tim Tam, double-coated Tim Tam.
No, that's true.
Can I ask, Luke, before we get to your answer, Ferns, with the double coat, did it confuse you for as long as me? And I thought the outside chocolate was thicker, but it's actually the bit between the two biscuits inside that's the double thickness. So, I thought it was the outside that was thicker.
Yeah, well, I guess same. Like, I thought that it was just double coated, like the top compared to the original Tim Tam. I was just like, oh, this is double coated on top, like, you beauty.
Really?
Better texture.
Chop it in half. There you go. Chop it in half, and you'll see the thickness of the sandwich, if you like, is double that of a normal Tim Tam. I've done my research.
But then why would you call it a double coat then? That'd be double filling, not double coat.
I agree, 100%. Take it up with Arnott's.
Yeah, this is going to turn into Buttergate 4. Like, I can't handle this. You can't call something double coated, and it be the filling that's the thicker bit. Yeah, no, that doesn't sound right to me. Yeah, this is a coat-spiracy.
Double, yeah. It's like, you see the Oreos.
There's your title.
Oreos, and then you've got the double-sized Oreos, which has double the cream in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's double size.
What was the title?
It's a coat-spiracy.
I got it. Good stuff. Very good. See, we don't need Dr. Titles / Dr. Emma.
Well, it's been a while since I've come up with one for myself, but yeah, I'm happy to contribute where needed. Don't expect me to come up with the Simpsons quote at the end, because yeah, trying to come up with one off the cuff it doesn't happen for me, unfortunately. All right, so we'll jump into the game taking place on the weekend. Obviously, we'll talk about the A-League one first, and let me just jump into. I need to jump into the forums to get the stats that Big Daddy Dave has posted, and I'm just waiting for my computer to actually log in. This is fantastic live radio.
You can edit this out, surely.
No, I won't be. It all stays in, mate. It's all good content. It's all good content. All right. So here we go. Thanks, Dave. Stats. 36 matches between the two teams. There's 14 Jets wins, 13 victory wins, which is a surprise, and 9 draws. In Newcastle, 17 matches, 8 Jets wins, 3 victory wins, and 6 draws. Glenn, this is obviously one of those fixtures where the Jets always seem to have the wood over the victory at home, though, not away, because in Melbourne it's 19 matches, 6 Jets wins, 10 victory wins, 3 draws. We always seem to, either the victory just don't like to travel up here, or we just seem to play better against them at home.
Yeah, I remember for a short time we had some joy down in Melbourne as well. I remember that pearl of a free kick from Joel Griffiths down there many moons ago. But yeah, the stats don't lie. Yeah, we've got a much better record at home against victory than we do away. It's probably due in part to the last few seasons of pretty poor results against not only victory but every other team. But well, hopefully that we can continue the good run of home form against Melbourne.
Yeah, well, looking at Melbourne for a sec, Luke, they were languishing, I think, in last place for at least a week there, and they finally managed to get a win last week. So I suppose that can either be a double-edged sword. That can be good, that maybe the pressure's off and maybe they might fall right back into losing ways, or they might have got the confidence up now and they might look to go on with it. So it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just seems to be the case with us a lot of the time. Like, we ended up taking on a Sydney FC side who just lost to Central Coast the week earlier, last weekend. And, you know, it just always seems to be that either teams will get into form the week before they play us, or they will get in form when they play us.
Yeah.
Victory had a short turnover. I think they played Sunday in Perth, so... You know, they've only got 3 days really between that game and this game, so hopefully that short turnover for them affects them a little bit.
Yeah,
especially with all the travel as well.
Oh yeah, definitely, and I'm really hoping that that's the case. So there's not really any heads to heads that we can that we can say, but there's a few of Dave's talking points here. The Thursday win draw loss record of the Jets is 2 wins, 1 draw, and 3 losses. That one draw was against the victory. The Jets have had just one win in this fixture over the last two seasons, thanks to a thunderbolt from everyone's favourite current Sydney FC player, David Carney. And the last time the Jets had consecutive clean sheets at home was in March 2014. So, Glenn, yeah, a couple of talking points there. We don't tend to perform massively well on Thursday nights, although it's not too. There's only 6 games, and we've lost 3 of them. The other, yeah, so it's not too bad, but yeah, Thursday night fixtures just don't really seem to strike the imagination too much. There was a Thursday fixture a couple of weeks ago that the Mariners had that had about 4 people turn up, and it will probably be a decent turnout this week, I'm hoping, especially with the supercars on this weekend and the Jets offering a $10 general admission ticket. You'd hope that's going to bring a few people through the turnstiles, but they've got to do something, because Thursday fixtures, especially during school, just don't really work in the A-League. I've no idea why they insist on doing them.
No, not at all. And even if you look at last night's FFA Cup final, and for a final especially, the pretty poor turnout for that as well. Midweek football in Australia anyway is not a thing, or yeah. not yet anyway. Look, you make a good point with supercars. I don't know if this is why they've done it for this Thursday, but I think it's actually a good move to put it on a Thursday, because you probably definitely have some crossover of people that want to check out supercars, whether they be supercar fans or just Novocastrians being the first year of the supercars being here, want to go and check it out. I know there's a lot of people definitely going. So I think having it on the weekend might have actually resulted in a poorer crowd than having it on Thursday night.
Yeah, Luke, similar sort of question to you. The midweek fixtures, even with, like Glenn mentioned, the FFA Cup final, and even with ACL Asian Champions League games, they don't draw very much either. So unless it's during school holidays where people are off and they don't have to get kids up early in the morning for school, it just doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess you could say the same as well for 7 p.m. or 7:30 Sunday games. Why they're played at that time is just ridiculous. Like, kids have school the next day. Parents aren't going to sit with their kids at 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m. On a Sunday night out in the stadium. Like, it's just ridiculous. And I think part of the reason is probably because it is a school night and stuff, and people have Foxtel, they're more inclined to stay at home and just watch it on there. That way they can go to bed early. They don't have to worry about the traffic after the game and stuff, or just the travel anyway. So, and with that, you're probably looking at higher ratings on the TV, which, let's be real, Fox Sports in particular, they have a lot of say in the fixtures. So that's probably why, because they get the ratings for those midweek games, whereas crowd numbers and the atmosphere at the game suffers because of it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so a couple of other talking points from Dave's little post on newcastlefootball.net. Ernie Merrick's 14 points from the first seven matches is the second best start to a Jets managerial career. Gary Van Egmond's first stint earned him 16 points. Third is Scott Miller with 11 points from their first games. Newcastle have won 3, drawn 6, and lost 3 of the last 12 home games over the last 12 months. 4 of the 6 goals scored at home this season have been scored down the northern end of the ground. Well, that's a great start, that one. And the Jets have the chance to score at home in 4 consecutive matches for the first time since the middle of last season. And I'm pretty sure, Glenn, that was when we went on that massive dry run of not scoring. Didn't matter where we went, we couldn't score for toffee. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the one that jumps out there immediately is Ernie Merrick's 14 points from his first 7 matches being the second best start to a Jets managerial career. It just goes to show that he's come in, he's done what's required, and he's got results immediately.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we'll get onto it later, I'm sure. But the injury toll is really going to test him and the rest of the lads this weekend. Yep, this Thursday night. But yeah, like, you can't deny him his and the team's very, very good start, almost record setting if not for the loss last weekend. So yeah, more of the same, please.
Luke, just before we get into talking about the squad and the players that are going to be missing, just 2 points on the victory. The victory were undefeated in their last 5 matches, but 4 of those were draws. And they're in the middle of a 3-match away run. They obviously was mentioned that they played in Perth last week. They're travelling to Newcastle this week. And then they go away to Wellington next week. So that can pretty much... that's probably something to our advantage. It's a lot of time spent travelling but not training. So we may get them undercooked.
Yeah, well, as I said, as you said as well, they played Perth on Sunday, and now they've got a Thursday game, and I'm pretty sure that Kevin Muscat's already said, even before the game last week, that they were concerned about all the travel happening in the next month or so. So hopefully that starts this weekend and not in Wellington the following week.
Yep, definitely. All right, so we'll jump into the topic that nobody really wants to talk about, and that's obviously the players that are going to be missing. Glenn, obviously we missed having Roy in the team last week against Sydney, and we're going to be without him for at least a month by the sounds of it, because that groin injury after scans and tests and everything looks like it was a lot worse than first thought. So we rested him, hoping that we wouldn't be missing him for a significant period of time, although I suppose it's probably good that we didn't risk it, and he might have been out for a bit longer because yeah, he's out for 4 weeks now. That could have been two months or even longer. So yeah, we're going to have to learn to live without him for a little bit.
My thoughts exactly when you say that it was a masterstroke really not to play him last week, even though they thought it was a minor niggle. If he'd played, especially in those conditions last week, might have been a lot worse, as you say. So very good point. Injuries happen. Injuries don't discriminate. One of your best players can go down, and one of the squaddies could go down. Unfortunately for us, a few of them have come at once, the biggest one obviously being Roy O'Donovan. And it's such a big loss because of the way we play and everything goes through him. He's really, obviously, he's got 7 goals so far this season already. So everything going through him, he is the talisman. And it's just a case of, you know, who steps up next. And even before a ball was kicked, you would say the thinnest area on the park was up front. And I think anybody would say that, even Ernie Merrick. So it's really going to be tested. They didn't quite meet that challenge on the weekend. They didn't look as imposing in front of goal, but they've got another week now, knowing for sure that they don't have the services of Donovan, so hopefully some plan will be put together.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, Luke, that we only had a couple of hours' notice on the day of the game that Roy was going to be missing. Now they've had all week to prepare, or 4 days to prepare. So it's obviously something that Ernie Merrick's going to have been working on, and basically from the sounds of it, it looks like Naboo is going to basically slot straight into that central striking role. He's going to be the replacement for Roy. And they'll look at bringing in, it's probably going to be similar to what we saw maybe against Sydney, where we had Jason Hoffman playing on one side, and we had Naboot and Champness on the opposite wings, with Demian behind.
Yeah. Sorry, what was that last bit?
With Demian behind.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the squad, and I guess everyone probably said from the start that if Roy got injured, we'd be testing our our depth up front, because he was really the only striker that we had, out and out striker we had in the squad. I guess now that they know 100% he's out for a while, you have to do the job without him. I reckon Ernie's going to pump it into the players all week that even though he's not going to be playing, that someone will stand up and they will be able to perform and get results without him. Whether that's Naboo, whether that's Champness or Hoffman, putting in the extra yards up front. I guess between having like a few hours on Saturday, as you said, that we found out about it, I'm sure that Ernie will drive it into players this week that they can do the job without him, and just getting that players to stand up and perform.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, after such a promising start, Glenn, it's just really frustrating for Jets supporters that it looked like the new dawn had finally arrived, but within, a couple of weeks, both of our marquee players are out. Obviously, Vargas is out for a lot longer than Roy is. We'll actually have Roy back before Christmas, but it's just unfortunate that all the positivity around the team, it just gets challenged by these sorts of problems. And while rusted on football supporters know that that's just part of the game, it's the wider casual sporting fan that's going to go, well, these players are not there. What's the point? They're going to lose again. Do you think that's going to be much of an issue, or do you think that people are going to see where the Jets are, and there seems to be a bit more positivity around the club, so they're going to show up regardless of who's playing?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of both. to be honest with you. There'll be the casual fans or ones that have only really seen the doldrums that we've also witnessed in the last few years and see this as well. Here we go again. we're down and out, and we'll probably down for the count. But especially, I know I listened to the review of last week's game, and I think Doc Dremmer put a good spin on it. That there were a lot of positives to come out of that, and the guys that were available last week really took a good account of themselves, especially in that second half. So I think we'll see more of the same. I think that'll breed confidence in the players that are still there and that they can mix it, even with probably one of the best squads in the league, even when they don't have their best players on the park. So I think the old Jets would have fallen over. I think Merrick's especially, he's got a nice calm demeanour, and that'll pass on through the lads that he can pick from. And I expect them to be less, less dangerous on the attack, only because of the missing parts that they've got. But I still think that as a team, they'll perform well.
The other big challenge, something we only found out a couple of days ago, Luke, was that Jack Duncan sustained a foot injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. He's gone for scans, and we'll be seeing a specialist towards the end of the week. So we'll probably end up finding out on Friday after the Melbourne Victory game how long it looks likely he's going to be out for. But he's had a really, really strong start to the season. But this is where the recruitment in the off-season actually is helpful, because we do have a very strong backup in Glenn Moss that is going to be available to be selected this week. So that's not so much of an issue, but it's a real shame for Duncan, because he was given the chance to claim the number one goalkeeper's jersey, and he's done that. He's done everything that's been asked. One fumble in the box due to atrocious wet conditions on the weekend notwithstanding.
Yeah, that's right. And in the preseason, I think there was a lot of questions from fans and stuff, like who will start, will Moss go straight into the squad as the, you know, he's coming in as an international keeper for New Zealand, or is it going to be Jack? Will he retain the number one spot? And as you said, Jack's performed incredible all season. He's made heaps of good saves. He's won Save of the Week a couple of times, I think, from Fox Sports. As you said, it was atrocious conditions, and it sort of put a downer on an otherwise really good performance he had on the weekend. Some good saves he made, and he's human. Errors happen. There was a championship game on the weekend. Sunderland Millwall, where all four goals in the game were worse than that. So
and Redmayne's was worse than that. So
Redmayne's was worse than that. But yeah. To have someone of Moss's quality and experience, he's travelled the world as a New Zealand goalkeeper, I think we're very lucky to have someone of his quality on the bench, and I'm sure he'll come in and do a good job. Just very disappointing that it's happened to Jack after the first 2 months of the season, where apart from one incident, he's had an otherwise flawless almost campaign in goals.
Okay, so the current squad that's available, obviously the guys that drop out, Ronald Vargas is unavailable, Roy O'Donovan's unavailable, outs is obviously Jack Duncan. Devante Clute goes back to oblivion again. He gets omitted from the squad. Ins are Wayne Brown, Mario Shabau, Costa Petratos, and Glenn Moss returns from his international duties and whatever else he was doing when he was away last week. So that means the squad is currently Jason Hoffman, Nigel Bugard, Kanarovsky, Jugarkovic, Petratos, Brown, Shabau, Vujica, Naboot, Cowburn, Georgeski, Katrumbas, the other Petratos, Moss, Jackson, Champness, Nechevsky, and Topol Stanley. Now, two of those are going to be omitted. You probably think that you're probably looking at either maybe Johnny Katrumbas and one of the other guys might be omitted as well, so maybe one of the younger ones. So he'll probably only stick with either. He'll probably go with maybe either Shabau or Petratos, but it's going to be interesting to see which way he goes this week. Glenn, that's still a fairly strong squad. Obviously, we're light up front. So looking at those names, what sort of starting lineup are you looking to? Are you thinking that Ernie's going to go for? Obviously, he sort of said he's not going to look at wholesale changes. So it's probably going to be fairly close to what we saw against Sydney FC.
Yeah, I think it'll be exactly the same team, albeit in slightly different positions, being that you'll have Naboo up front, where I think originally it was Champs on the weekend. I still haven't seen the game. I've only gone off off ABC Radio driving back from Sydney. So I think that might be the only tweak. I think most of it will remain the same and a few changes on the bench. I don't know if you've – I can't remember if this has been pointed out already, but Brown, he may be available for this match, is that correct?
He's in the squad, but with whatever issue he had, I think it was a calf strain or a calf complaint for last week's game, I'd say what they'll do is they'll look at him and see whether he's ready to go tomorrow lunchtime, and then if he's still not quite fit, he'll be one of the two admitted. They'll probably drop him and either Katrumbas or Jackson, I would say. So it would mean that Shabao and Costa would probably be likely bench people. That gives us some more young blokes, but more attacking options off the bench. Mm. As opposed to last week was quite funny. Towards the end of the game, he was throwing defenders up front because that's pretty much all we had to go on.
Yeah, and if he's going to do that, why not throw somebody who used to be a striker up there in Hoffman?
Mm.
But anyway,
we'll leave that for another day. That last week, and I don't know how well it worked, but obviously Hoffy hasn't played in that position for a while, Luke. So that's going to be one of the interesting conundrums, I suppose, for Ernie Merrick. Does he take a chance on, like, give Hoffman a bit of a run in that position for the time that that Roy's going to be out, or does he look at maybe putting Hoffman back in fullback position where he knows he'll actually do a job, and maybe look at pushing Georgeski forward, because Georgeski, I think, has played for the forward for Victory when he needed to, and he's got a little bit more pace and is also probably going to be able to help screen the midfield. You might be looking at more of a 4-3-3 as opposed to a 4-2-3-1, but that's going to be an interesting conundrum for Ernie Merrick.
Yeah, I completely forgot that Hoffman used to play striker. It seemed so long ago.
We tried so hard to forget. We tried.
He's got an ACL goal, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. I think he's got an ACL sign.
Yep.
There you go. Anytime somebody bags him for you're no good, you go, well, how many ACL goals have you got?
That'd
be my comeback.
Yep.
I've said he's always been the best striker, turn right mid, turn right back, turn right wing ever in the league. So, I guess for Ernie this week, it depends on whether he wants to experiment with him up front or whether he's comfortable with what he's gone with so far. Does he want him on the wing, or like he knows what he can do at right back or right wing? Striker might be a bit different. Like, does he want to do that? I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting to see whether he wants to just keep it the way it is with as little change as possible, or put him up front and see how he goes, and if it doesn't go well, put Naboo back up there, or
if he did it wouldn't be his first port of call. I just mean, instead of throwing Jackson up there, I would have put Jackson back and pushed Hoffman up, because Jackson's never been a striker. Even though I know in the post-match press conference he said he was doing, he put him up there for set pieces and stuff, but you can play anywhere and still go up front for set pieces.
From how I saw it at the game, it looked as though after Jackson came on, it was, we'll try and put the ball up there, hopefully you can control it and play it to me, or was driving at that point, just hit there and start something from there. That's what it seemed like at the game.
The old Petty Crouch.
How many sectors we had at that point, so.
Yeah.
All right. Let me have a look at some other things. Well, here's apologise for a bit of audio dropout there. I think it was either my connection or Luke's connection went a little bit haywire there, but we'll push on. Glenn, let's assume that Wayne Brown comes in and is fit. Does he start? Does he leave him on the bench? Does Hoffman start? Does he leave Hoffman on the bench in reserve? What do you think? What do you think Ernie would do in that instance?
I think it's going to be very difficult, especially considering the unavailable players. It's going to be very difficult not to start Brown if he is 100% fit. If he's any less than that, then I can see him either being on the bench or not in the squad at all. It's not going to be a straight swap, though, because I think, as we've sort of discussed at length in various pods, his best position, as far as we can tell, is that number 8, number 6, which both taken up by Igarkovic and Kantorowski, who are still playing some of the best football that either of them have played in a Jet shirt for a very long time. So yeah, short of removing one of them, which they definitely don't deserve it, I think Ernie would agree that Brown isn't an attacking player per se. So if you wanted to put him somebody in an attacking role, I don't think Brown would be the one to make that position his own to start from anyway. And you could see a Chabot potentially getting thrown in there as a bit of a dynamic change.
All right. Well, so we've pretty much talked over our side of things. I'll quickly go through what the Melbourne Victory squad's going to be. They have Barbarousis and Hope going back into their squad. They've only two players they've got unavailable is Mitch Austin for about 300 years and James Donachie with a quad injury. So their current squad is Acton, Gerrier, Williams, Milligan, Broxham, Atiu, Berisha, Barbarousis, Torisi, Deng, Hope, Sanchez, Thomas, Valeri, Negro, Ingham, Thea Harris and George. So, and two of those will have to get dropped as well. So that's still, Luke, a really, really strong. I mean, you know, so many players in there that are really well-known players. It's a very strong squad, and we're going to have to be on top of our game to be able to get any sort of result from this.
For sure. As you said before, they've undefeated in 5 games and had 4 draws in that time or something, and you just look at that squad and they've just got quality all over the pitch. Thea Harris, was it? He was a 16-year-old, came on against Brisbane a couple of weeks ago, and the second he came on, he just turned the game for Melbourne, and they ended up getting their goal in that 1-1 draw from a run he made down the left. So even the youngsters are incredible players and stuff. So it's definitely a challenge, but you know, I don't think some of their recruiting, like I'll give it the kiss of death now. Mateus Sanchez, he's good for a foul, good for a yellow. That's about it that I've seen so far from him. Where in the past they've had Del Pierre, that sort of quality, it just doesn't seem to have come in as much this year.
All right. Well,
now watch Mateus Sanchez score a hat trick this week.
Yeah, no, you've just put the mockers on us. So that's that's going to be hard.
That's strike three.
Yeah. Well,
get him out of here.
So Glenn, with all the, I mean, taking into account the players that Melbourne Victory have got to choose from and the players we've got missing, would you take a draw?
Oh, yeah. Give it to me now. I'll take it. No problem.
Just don't worry about playing it. Let's just take the draw.
No, I'll take. Yeah, I would definitely take the draw, especially when you take everything into consideration. It's a difficult one though, because probably not going to be a better time to face Melbourne on such a short turnaround as Luke's made mention of. Like it really is a quality time to face them, and I actually think that win that they picked up last weekend means that it's an even better matchup for us, because they won't be I mean, obviously, every team wants to win, but if they stretch that winless run even further and we were next on the block, well, I could see us getting smashed. But, it's hard to say. I definitely would take a draw. That's my head. My heart obviously always wants the Jets to win.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Luke? Would you take a draw now?
I honestly, with everything, I'm expecting a win. Perth's been dreadful the last few weeks. I can't remember who they played a couple of weeks ago. Oh, it was Wellington. I lost 5-2 to Wellington.
Yep.
And that second half from Perth was up there with some of the worst football I've ever seen in the A-League. They were dreadful. They as soon as they got the ball into the attacking third, Costa and Keogh just hit shots in from anywhere, didn't look to pass, didn't look interested at all. So whether you can say that, I didn't see the game on the weekend, the Perth victory one, but I assume they carry that attitude into that, and victory played them at the right time. So it probably works in our favour that they did get that win, as Glenn said, that they, they're still hungry, but it's not like riding on them like we need to get our first win of the season. They got that out of the way last week, and I think with the short turnaround and stuff, I'm expecting a win. I'll take a draw, but I would much prefer, and I'm more expecting a win from the Jets tomorrow.
All right, so what is your prediction?
I'll say 2-1 Jets, Dimi, and I'm going to say Georgevski to score.
Glenn?
Nil all.
yeah, I don't know whether to smash my head against a wall or celebrate. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I would much prefer that than a 0-0. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, so get your predictions in as well. Jump on Twitter or on Facebook and let us know what you think the score is going to be. We'll quickly run through the rest of the A-League round before we quickly cover off on the Jets women and wrap things up. So we're playing Thursday night. The following night, Friday night, sees Melbourne City hosting Perth Glory. Glenn, what do you think is going to be the score in this one?
2-0 City for me.
2-0 City. What about you, Luke?
I'm going to say 3-0 City.
Yeah, Glory are always good for a goal, but they're missing Taggart for a fair while now, which seems to sort of blunt their attack. Keogh and Taggart work really well together, but when one of them's missing, they just seem to fall in a heap, which is really weird because Keogh's a really good striker, and I don't know why he can't do it on his own. But anyway, I'm probably going to agree with you. I think that's probably going to be a 2-1 victory to Melbourne City. Saturday sees the early game over in Wellington, Phoenix hosting the Mariners. Luke, are you going to go for a Bodie special, or are you going to drive another nail in your coffin of tipping the Mariners?
I'm not going to drive any more nails. I think I've done a good job of that the last three times. So I'll go Wellington 4-0.
Whoa, okay. There you go. Bodie
it
special.
Is a Bodie special.
It is a Bodie special. Glenn?
Yeah, I think it'll be the odd goal. I think 1-0 Wellington. Yep, and that'll do for me.
They'd be happy with that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick this one to finish 2-1 as well to Wellington. The late game, or the game in prime time on Saturday night, 7:50 PM, also on Channel One. Sydney FC hosting the Brisbane Roar. This could be a cricket score. Glenn, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it will be a cricket score. I think Sydney will be the wet conditions on the weekend would have taken it out of them. They've gone to extra time last night in the FFA Cup final. I think they will win. I just don't think it'll be trouncing. And Brisbane have found some goal scoring form lately, so 2-1 to Sydney.
All right. Luke?
I'm going to say 1-0 Sydney. As Glenn said, they have found goal scoring form, but majority of those have been just dreadful keeper errors. Against City last week, who's the keeper? Golekovic had his probably worst game ever in the A-League, and La Roca had his as well. So I'd say scoring three against City last week was probably a fluke. I just don't see Sydney making the same mistakes again, like City did.
If I remember correctly, teams that usually win the FFA Cup go on a bit of a barren run for a couple of weeks following that win. So I'm actually going to tip that to happen again. I think Brisbane, it won't be a huge scoring game, but I think Brisbane will win that game 1-0, and that'll shut a few Sydney fans up.
That'll be a boil over.
Yeah, it will be. But that'll be fun. That makes everything interesting, and we'll also keep we'll make sure Sydney doesn't get too far ahead of us while we recover from our injuries. Sunday sees a 7 p.m. game for some unknown reason. Sunday 7 p.m. Adelaide hosting Western Sydney Wanderers. This could be this pretty much looks like the match of the round. I think it's pretty even. I don't know whether Adelaide are actually going to be getting any of their injured players back, because they're still missing a whole bunch of people. But I'm just trying to look at the ladder to see how they're tracking, because they're sitting in fifth. So even with three losses in the last. In the last couple of games, they're still managing to be up around sort of middle of the table. They're actually on the same number of points as Wanderers, but just separated by goal difference. So, yeah, it could be interesting. So, Glenn, what do you reckon is going to be the score with this one?
Josip Gombauer, one knee slide celebration to nil. his return, I think it's the first time he's been back to Adelaide, at least as a club coach.
Yep.
I think Western Sydney will do it. A little bit of a hangover from Adelaide as well. I mean, they've got an extra day to recover rather than Sydney, but they do have the travel as well. So, yeah, I think Western Sydney will edge this again by the odd goal, probably 2-1 for me.
Well, this will be Gombauer's first game, won't it? Because they had that other game postponed because of the pitch.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I don't know whether it is. Did he take charge?
No, there was one before that.
Was he in charge then? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was. Was that Victory or City that they played? I think it was a draw.
Okay. No, well,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, it's fine. They're not our team anyway, so we don't care. Luke.
I reckon Wanderers will win. Adelaide had the extra time yesterday, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Maroney's red card means he misses this week. Is that right?
You would think it would be all domestic comps.
He's not allowed within 30 yards of a ball boy.
Yeah, 5-metre exclusion.
So, yeah. I'm going to go Wanderers 2-0.
All right, no worries. I'm going to pick actually a draw in this game. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. Maybe even 2-2, but I'll pick 1-1. All right, so that's all. That's your lot for this week with regards to the A-League. No Melbourne Victory fan this week, because we have spoken to a couple of the opposition fans in recent weeks for the Around the Grounds episode. So what we won't be doing one next week either, mainly due to... The recording schedule, but we'll probably be looking at getting back into the opposition fan interviews following next week's previews episode. So keep an ear out for that. A quick chat over the W League game that takes place on Saturday. Glenn, round five sees us travelling down to Marden Sport Park, I think is the name of... Marden Sport Complex, where we take on Adelaide United. Jets women travelling away. We'd really need to make sure we get a decent result in this game, because we want to make sure that we don't fall too far behind.
Yeah, I think if the men played there in the FFA Cup earlier this year, is that the same stadium?
I think that's the same stadium.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rings a bell. So not a happy hunting ground for us as a club. Yeah, you're right. It is a really pivotal time of the season for the Jets. W League Jets. They did start so well those first two games. The wheels have sort of fallen off a little bit in the last 2 weeks, coming up against a very strong City side, and then going down into two second half goals. I think they were both in the second half by Canberra United on Sunday. It is, especially with such a short season, it is very, very pivotal that they start to right the ship and come away with at least a point here.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just not just to keep pace with or keep away from the teams below us, Luke. The teams above us are looking really strong, and Melbourne City have just announced a fairly big signing from memory. I'm just trying to find it on my computer here, but they just signed an international player, which is obviously great for them. But that just makes a really strong Melbourne City women's team even stronger.
Yeah, definitely. I hadn't heard of them signing another player, so they were strong enough as it was, so it doesn't help us at all. You're right, we started off so well, and probably, you know, we've come up against the two of the competition favourites the last 2 weeks. You can chuck Perth in there as well. We've got them coming up in a few weeks' time, but against teams like Adelaide and Victory and stuff, we need to be winning those games in the W League, with it being such a short season. We need to just keep getting points on the board, and 6 points from four games, sorry. I haven't checked the ladder, that's probably like high mid-table, like mid-table or so, fifth. So yeah, we need to be picking up results definitely against the teams below us. So a win against Adelaide is necessary. Like, we need a win against Adelaide, put it plain and simple.
Yeah, absolutely. That Melbourne City signing is England international Jodie Taylor from Arsenal Women as a guest player. 7-game stint. She was crowned FA Women's Player of the Year following an impressive Euro 2017 campaign, where she finished as the tournament's Golden Boot winner with 5 goals. So
that's we played City 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. So she's netted 15 goals in 30 appearances for England. I don't think she's going to be here straight away, but they've signed her and she'll be here for obviously the last 7 games at least. So that's a pretty strong signing. And just going back to your earlier point about the table, the current table is the Perth, Brisbane sitting both on top on 9 points. Perth Glory are ahead on goal difference. Canberra United and Melbourne City are third and fourth on 6th, along with us. We're also on 6 points, but we're behind on goal difference. So Canberra United have +1, Melbourne City are evens, and we're with a -1 goal difference. Then you've got Adelaide United, who are in 6th, on 3 points, but they played a game less. There must be buys in this A-League.
Yeah, there is.
This W-League.
City don't play this week.
Okay, so Adelaide, Wanderers and Melbourne Victory Women all have played 3 games, whereas the teams above have played 4, with the exception of Canberra United. So Adelaide are four teams. So Adelaide, Western Sydney, Melbourne and Sydney FC are all on 3. And they're all basically separated by goal difference. So it's the only sort of team, Glenn, with issues is going to be the Sydney FC team, because they've played 4 games and only have 3 points, whereas the 3 teams above them have 3 points but have a game in hand. So very important for the Jets women to get a result to create a little bit of separation between us and the teams below us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and just on the Sydney side of things, I think that the first round, especially, they were missing at least two of their women from, was it international, young Matilda's duty?
Yeah, young Matilda's.
Princess Abini was missing from that one.
Yep. So
that
Remy Simpson was out as well.
Yeah, they had a couple of players missing. One. And I think they had Matilda's were also out too. There was a couple of players missing from around the league. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just before we go on, I'm just looking ahead. I don't know if this is maybe good for the team, for the W League team, but maybe not for the fans. Jets don't host Melbourne City, or don't even meet them. But the next time we meet in the W League is at McDonald Jones Stadium in round 14. So depending on when Miss Taylor arrives for her guest stint, the fans around here may not get a chance to see her in the flesh, which I'd be disappointed about, but I'm sure the team will be glad not to be coming up against somebody of her undoubted skill. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. All right, well, what do you think the score is going to be, Luke?
I'm going to go 1-0 Jets.
Yep, cool. I think everyone would be happy with that. What about you, Glenn?
Yeah.
Oh, 1-0 sounds like a good score. I think it might be 2-0. I'm hoping it is anyway. I wouldn't be surprised to see them draw, but I really, yeah, it's pivotal moment and Jets need to pick up all three.
Yep, absolutely, and I'll pick a 2-0 win as well. All right, so thanks very much for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. Make sure you get to the game this Thursday. Well, by the time you receive this podcast, it'll be tonight. So get along to the game tonight. If you're not sure, come along to the game. You can get a $10 general admission ticket. You go to the Ticketmaster website and enter in the promo code FASTCARS, all one word, and that gives you a $10 GA ticket. And you can come along and experience some Jets action before you experience some V8 action over the course of the weekend. Obviously, also as well, Wednesday saw the release of the first episode of the Championship Chronicles. Been very well received. I deliberately didn't listen to the episodes. Some of the other guys on the podcast team did listen to them beforehand, but I wanted to go into it without listening to it beforehand. And I'm really enjoying them. Dave's done a fantastic job. So make sure you get onto the NewcastleFootball.net website and look at and download the episodes, or you can listen to them through your web page, or you can download them to your podcast app on your phone. Just search for the Jetstream podcast in whatever podcast app you're using, whether that's on iTunes or Android. We also are on Stitcher. All those links are at newcastlefootball.net/podcast. Also hit us up on Twitter, Facebook or Instagram. At Jetstream Newey is the address for those, or if you want to drop us an email, that is podcast@newcastlefootball.net, or if you want to get in contact with Bodie about the fanzine, that is fanzine@newcastlefootball.net, and there will be a online edition of the fanzine coming out tomorrow, 1 hour before kickoff. The fanzine will be released via the Newcastle Football.net website, so you'll be able to download that to your phone and play with it to your heart's content. All right, well, thanks very much for joining us, guys. Share the crap out of the episodes. Share the crap out of the Championship Chronicles episodes. Let people know that we're around to help spread the word. Really have to thank Glenn for jumping on tonight and for technical issues that took place before the podcast got started. We won't get into that now, but thanks for hanging around, mate.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to give the people a different voice other than David's. We're going to be hearing enough of it over the next few months. So,
yes, that's absolutely correct. And you as well, Luke. Thank you very much, mate, for joining us as well and for sticking around with the technical issues that beset us before we started.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, friends.
No problems at all. All right, thanks very much, guys, for listening. Jump on the website, jump online, jump on social media, jump on wherever, and just make sure you get to the game and check out the Jets playing Melbourne Victory. But until next week, where we will be reviewing that game, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Championship Chronicles.
Chronicles! There you go.
Yeah, nice. Oh, it's got to be happy with that.
That was Luke's suggestion. He did that a couple of weeks ago.
He did. Yeah. Well, you don't have a Simpsons quote. What about "Beak 'em away, did toys"?
Dad, did you actually see the Chronicles?
I swallowed my wedding ring for safekeeping. Give me some Ipecac. I'd like to expunge it. That's the only Simpsons quote I know.